Freestyle Travel. Hey everybody, Kenny Flannery here, and today I've got Sean Tuberty as my guest. Sean is one of my childhood friends, the last person that I lived with before I started traveling. When I was living in New York City, I lived with Sean and his brother Mark, among other people in that crazy apartment. And somehow this is the first time that he's on the Freestyle Travel Show. But yeah, one of my best friends, and was there right for the transition to getting into travel. So yeah, I think we talked for over an hour or something. If you're watching the video as opposed to the audio, I think the video cuts out only for the last like 3 minutes, which isn't so bad, I guess, considering we were drinking beers and having a good time. So yeah, let's just jump right into Sean Tuberty, and then I'll say a few things afterwards. Let's do it.
I don't know either. But you're finally here. Cheers, Sean.
Cheers, Kenneth.
Good to meet you. Cheers. Fuck you, Aaron. We're doing this. This is a weird angle. We're making it work. Welcome to the Freestyle Travel Show.
Happy to be here, I guess.
We're off to a hell of a start.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So let's start off by saying, what's up with the Shih Tzu, dude?
Oh, I love Shih Tzus. I've had my first Shih Tzu is, she lived to 20, and this one's called Huey. He's awesome. He's going to be 6 soon, and he's killing it.
All right. Well, to give people a background besides Aaron that don't know what the fuck's going on, you were Sean.
I am Sean.
Since I was 8, 9, 10 years old.
I think I met you when you were in the 4th grade. I was in the 6th grade. I was best friends with your brother Blake.
Yep.
You were best friends with my brother Mark.
Yeah.
You were really into the Lakers. He was really into the Bulls.
Ever. Worst team ever.
Blake was really into the Celtics. Yep. You know, that's how that went.
Yeah. And then life went on, and we progressed. And actually, we were roommates in Astoria, Queens, New York City.
Yeah, the way that actually happened was I did not want to move. Mark and I were living in an apartment in Astoria, and we said, I'm busy working, I don't want to bother with finding an apartment. And you said, well, if I find it for you, will you move? And I said, sure, why not? And never thought you would pull it off, but you did. You found an apartment. You met Alarian, who is our old landlord.
Who I was in touch with months after I was traveling. I was like hitchhiking, getting calls from Alarian, just like, what is going on? I'm just like, I'm handling it. I'm like, and I call you guys and be like, what's going on?
I never quite thought that you would find an apartment, let alone be able to send a lease and get it set up. But we went from like a very calm, picturesque one bedroom to a three bedroom that we affectionately called the frat house.
This is true. Can I shut this off?
Sure.
Sound thing?
The air conditioner.
1 second. Keep everyone entertained while I shut it off.
I shall not.
All right. He didn't shut it off, but look, listen.
But I am watching Pete. I am watching Pete and Pete in the background because that's part of my childhood, and like that makes me smile.
All right. So Sean didn't trust me, but I moved from Florida after school and moved in with you guys. But then I found a place. And yeah. Funny note, this is the last place that I lived before I started traveling.
It's your last known domicile.
I think you've probably heard this story, but if you haven't, when I found the apartment that we lived in for years, there were two apartments. There was the second and third floor, and when I was shown both floors, I was like, third floor, high floor, sweet, let's go. So we moved into the third floor, but then we quickly... You guys quickly realized that the second floor was like way nicer, not fucked up. And you're like, why did you choose to? And I was like, the third floor was higher. But
it worked out.
It worked out because some pretty girls moved in to the second floor, which is like way nicer.
I mean, that was true too. But the bigger deal was the fact that we were playing music at all hours of all nights.
So we were
like jamming till 2 in the morning. So it was actually helpful to be on this third out of three stories.
Top floor. I always like being on the top floor. No one's above you.
Yeah. That was cool. Like, it was still like, when we first moved in, it was like a classic college thing. I mean, we were all, 21, 22, 23, so.
Yeah, and it's still maintained because the girls below us, they were on that vibe, and then the guy below us, he was married.
No, Alex, but young married, so it's like,
yeah, so he was able to come up and actually like live, you know. Spoiler alert, they got divorced. Go figure. He was able to come up and chill. Like, there's the basement dwellers, Brie or whatever. She wasn't even allowed to live there technically, legally. She was, so it was super good vibes. And then even when I left and I would come back after I started traveling, like, you guys were still chilling.
I think we stayed there for a few years, actually.
Yeah.
It was cool. Like, it was like one of those classic New York stories where you move into a place and have no idea what you're getting into. And we happened to move on the same day as a few women. And so that was kind of, like, fun. And, like, it was a classic New York, like, oh, you guys are cute, we're cute, blah, 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 doing that whole thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, we're actually living right above you. But we have these huge amplifiers and a drum kit. So I hope you like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked. So for the viewers and the listeners, as far as freestyle travel and stuff is concerned, let me bring you back to those days.
I know.
Bring it back to me, I guess, in a little bit of a way.
Before you were a traveler.
But like, once I started traveling, like, how did that, how'd that feel?
It's funny because I remember when you were like into it, we were having a beer and shepherd's pie over at Cronin's, which was like a Irish pub in Astoria, Queens.
Yeah.
Well, and you were talking about like the fact that you're like, hey, what if I just didn't pay rent? Like, you know how much money I'd have if I didn't pay rent and I didn't pay credit cards and I just traveled instead?
Yeah.
So I remember that. And like the thing that you hated the most was you freaking hated like walk in the cold, and you used to walk in the cold to the subway, and it was like in the middle of January in New York, which is like
wind tunnel up Astoria like Boulevard too.
10 degrees Fahrenheit. It was
the cold, but it was the wind.
It was the wind and it was cold. Yeah. And you're like, you know, why do I keep doing this when I can actually just go do things? And like, you had a very high affinity for Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
And you looked at the idea of like, hey, we could just hit the road and go do things. And the funny thing with your logic back then was like, if I just traveled, I could still pay my credit cards, which was kind of funny in retrospect because you're like, with what money? Yeah. But like, you're like, I can just travel, pay my credit cards, and you're like, see the world. And if I didn't have rent to deal with, that'd be easier. So it's kind of fun to look backwards, and it's like, it was more goal of just getting out on the road and letting go of the stuff that was like holding you back. And there's a lot of things, like you were freaking a receptionist at Barclays Bank, which was crazy.
That was dumb,
you know. And like, and you and I used to, before you like decided to hit the road, you and I would do burgers on Thursdays. So we would go and grab burgers every Thursday,
the Jackson Hole spot.
Yeah. And what's funny too, because it's like, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had enough money to buy a burger. So we'd go get a burger, we'd get a beer, and we'd try different burger spots in the city.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I remember that Jackson Hole spot. They literally had, their brag was like they had 50 burgers.
Oh.
They had like the pasta burger. But it was cool because like we could give it up for that one week. And even though it was like $12 or $18. Or I don't know. I don't even remember what it was. But whatever it wasn't that much. It was as much or as little for us to enjoy it, but also not like sweat it.
But I also think that was like the first time when you like working the gig was, you know, when you know, we've known each other since you were in fourth grade, so it's been forever. But you moved to the city to do music, you know, and you were doing an internship, working at a music studio with the guy who was the drummer for Twisted Sister, which is kind of really cool by itself.
Yeah.
But like, that wasn't going to do it for you. So you're like, oh, let me try this, let me try that. So you, like, that's when you moved to the city, like, that's what I thought we were going to do. I thought we were going to just do music. I thought we were going to play songs. I thought that's what I was going to do with my life, actually.
We did
for a while. Yeah.
For a bit.
Yeah. I honestly, like, my favorite part of our life together in terms of like memories is like when you were 18, before you went to Full Sail.
Yeah.
You were running a studio out of a place in New Canaan, and you were bringing folks through. You were recording great music. You were awesome.
It was the biggest studio within 30, 40 miles.
You were, and I love it too, because you were like, you were supporting it with your job at the bakery.
Yeah.
You were working at a bakery, buying all this like cool musical equipment.
No. I remember being there at the bakery and just thinking, like, I'm that much closer to that $700 Audio-Technica AT4047 microphone that I want.
I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, at that moment in time, like, I felt like all things are possible. And it's kind of sad because, like, you know, life kind of got in the way. But, like, in that one moment when you were 18, when I was probably, like, 20, 21, Mark was 18. And we were, like, we thought this will lead to... you know, a studio. And like when you moved to the city, I thought you were gonna like blow up as a, you know, a studio tech, and we were gonna just make music together. And it never happened the way we wanted. We did record an EP, but it was like super sketch. And
that's when I came back. I'd already been on the road at that point. And that's what kind of got me on the road, is that working for that Joe Franco, the we're not gonna take it, Twisted Sister guy. He gave me a check for $100. And at first I was stoked because he gave me an envelope, and I was like, fuck yeah. And then I think it was either on the subway or when I got back, I opened the envelope and it was like $100. I'm like, what the fuck?
I still feel like for me, like, I think the thing that I've always missed is the chance to like actually record the shit we were thinking about back then. And, you know, when we recorded the EP together, it wasn't great. I mean, you did a great job of like piecing it together, but like we had the drums recorded like in Astoria Soundworks, which is a really awesome recording it's not even a recording studio, it's a rehearsal studio in New York in Astoria. And like that was cool. We used to go there every Wednesday and have jam nights, and like it was cool, it was fun back then to think about it. But like we didn't get it right, and when we recorded the vocals, it was like with all this random stuff put up in the hallway, and I don't even remember.
We had to piece it together and it was, I don't know.
It was fun, but it was like...
It was fun, and I still listen to those songs.
They're like, still good.
I fucking love them. Anyone watching this, like, just look up Cider Robin, CYDEROBIN, on YouTube, I guess. Yeah. Is it on Spotify and Pandora?
It's on Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon, iTunes, everything.
I say Jesse James is personally my favorite. What's your favorite tune from those recordings? There's six songs.
I mean, you know... I like Your Mind because it was about my wife, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. You don't want the world to know you're mine.
Oh, so Callie, that's on this podcast. So everyone, if you're listening to this, you listen to this intro music to this podcast. Is that on YouTube? It must be.
It's on YouTube somewhere. It's part of one of the things.
I bet, try looking up Callie Cider Robin.
Yeah, it's there somewhere.
That's fucking... Because that was Alex from the first floor. We were recording Callie, and then Alex from the first floor came up, who had this, like, pretty hot wife, but they ended up breaking up because she was all actressy, and he was all...
They had their challenges.
He was trying to live and stuff, and, like, part of that was, like, he came up, and he's just, like, in his belt of harmonicas. Well, he's like, what are you doing?
It's interesting, like, those two, like, I love each of them, and they were awesome, but he was very much trying to, like... live in the moment, trying to kind of be a younger version of himself. She was like off doing, like, really, she's gone on to do like actual movies, Broadway stuff. She's done really cool stuff. Yeah. Cool. They both done well for each other, but like.
It always felt like he was escaping when he came up to the top floor. But that was one of the times he came up and we were recording Callie, and he's just like, I've got my harmonicas. Yeah. So if you listen to Callie, like, that harmonica shit really makes the sound.
Well, it's funny too, because it's like, you know, you look back and. You don't really take into any account creating music. You're like, oh yeah, this is just what we do. When you're like 20, 25, 27, whatever, you're just creating a bunch of music. You're always recording. You're always doing stuff. You're always writing songs. Like it didn't even feel like a big deal, but you were just doing it. We got stuff down on tape, and like even like joking around, we did like On the Road Again, like randomly you and I just singing along, and that's
a good recording,
but it was fun. Like, you know, music is something that gets people excited, and I think at the end of the day we all really identify with music because it's something we do when we're just chilling. We're like by ourselves singing a song, and I think music, especially when you're like doing it with a group, like Kenny used to be in a band with us, like when we started off as Cider Robin, Kenny was our drummer before he hit the road, and it was awesome. Like when you could get in a groove together, like you feel the beats and you have the cuts, there's very few things that are as cool as that.
Actually. We used to have these Wednesday night jam sessions. No. That's what I always remember. Like up until when I left, and like on Wednesday nights, our apartment was just, we never got fucked with, like, really.
No, I have no idea how, by the way. Yeah. I feel super bad about that.
Even once we started having the big parties, we, like, cops would come, but like, we'd always have people who knew the cops.
We did.
And they would meet him and like they'd brush it over.
And so for perspective, like I grew up and I read books on like Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan. They were always going to each other's house and like doing jam sessions. So I'm like, oh yeah, we should just do jam sessions at our house. That's a way to get our music out there. So we grab beer. We just have anybody who wants to plug in. And the funnest thing was people who had no business playing music would plug in and they'd find yeah. like a thing. Like our buddy, Sean Campbell, he was an amazing bass player. He had never played bass before in his life. He plugged in and he immediately had the rhythm going. He was doing syncopation. And that was the great thing about that moment. Like I remember vividly when he picked up the bass for the first time and like his life changed.
Yeah. Those are nice. I always remember when Esau came with the saxophone, because like all of us would just suddenly just tune into what he was doing, and just like it would just sort of change the night. Like all of us would elevate to his level.
Well, I think that's true too. Like if you think about music in general, like having a horn section at all, or like either a trumpet or a sax, it changes the vibe of the night. Because if you do like bass, guitar, or drums, like it's like one level, but you throw horns on there, it's a totally different level. And Esau was super cool anyway.
Yeah, he was talented. He would go and... I remember he said he would go and like play the Subway and he would play till he got $100 or $200.
Yeah, and he... you know the best thing about Esau too was like he was really philosophical. Like he and I would sit at Starbucks and like talk philosophy and just talk all like life and stuff. And you know the cool thing about him too was he was into Miles Davis. He was into, you know, Coltrane, and like we would talk about that. And he really appreciated the music. And I think that's the coolest thing when people like have a passion towards it. There's a book called Cold Mountain, which is like, you know, not a big book, but it was like they made a movie and this person in it like became a violinist, and he like really finally started to becoming a violinist, and like he focused on writing music and doing stuff, and it changed the narrative. It used to be like the guy who started playing violin just get tips. But then he flipped it and said, no, let me write and let me play to like really express my heart. And that changed everything for him. And it was a book, but I still remember it to this day, because it's like, that's the difference between someone who's just like doing something to get some cash and doing something to self-exploration. And like Esau was, I mean, there are sadly, because we're looking in this digital age, there are YouTube videos of, you know, Esau playing sax in the Subway that I recorded way back when. And then he went on to like, you know, be in Marvel Netflix shows and stuff like that. But back then he was just freaking doing like, he was a bouncer at night. He was doing Shakespeare and he was playing saxophone. So one of my favorite people. And you know, one of the people I miss from the New York scene.
I just recorded the audiobook for Nomadic Moonlight. And one of the, pages is actually when you and Mark got popped for recording in the Subway.
Oh yeah,
remember that? But then, like, you guys went to court, and I think one of y'all's tickets didn't go through.
So Mark's ticket was thrown out because the police officer did not file the ticket. So I showed up, and like I did not realize what. So we were playing, like, it's not a big deal, but we were playing music in the subways, and they were like, We were too close to the stairwell, so they gave us some ticket. I had to go to court. I've never been to court before, so I brought my paper. I brought a Wall Street Journal, and I sitting in the court area pulled out the Wall Street Journal. The judge is like, "You can't do that, sir." And I'm like,
"Okay." You can't read the fucking Wall
Street. I'm like, "You can't read a paper while I'm waiting for court." And then they had me plead guilty to like whatever, like
music.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, it'll be expunged in 7 years. I'm like, okay. Like I literally played bongos by a stairwell in New York, so whatever.
I was in the city because I had a court date. So that's part of the page in my book that I read. It's just like, it was mystical solidarity that you guys were got busted, because it's like, what the fuck, like it was so stupid.
I mean, it's funny because I remember a gal I went to school with, Erin Levi, and she had happened to randomly see us playing that day, and she's like, oh, I ran into her like years later. She's like, I thought that's what you were doing. I'm like, no, that was like a one-time thing. It didn't work very long, but nice. I mean, I think the problem is we didn't, I mean, this was 2000 and 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
We were trying to make it in the music industry, but we didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, when we grew up, it was like, oh, get your demo into somebody's hands and they'll, like, make you famous. And we're not, like, into the Instagram era of, like, become a famous TikToker and whatever. Yeah, so it was like, oh, let's just get our music out there any way possible. And so we were, like, down the subway playing music, hoping it got to people's ears. I mean, I mean, looking back, I love playing music. I wish I could do it more. I'm actually looking forward to getting back into it, actually, after, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, too, like, I remember I had a 4-track, and, like, the 4-track was, like, tape. Like, you'd have to, like, record each track on it. And I remember reading about Hendrix doing that with, like, a 4-track or a 2-track. And I was like, oh, it's so cool to get, like, recordings. And now it's, like, on GarageBand or whatever. You can do, like, all these tracks and you can just do it. I think the idea is, like, wanted to make it perfect and now you just have fun with it.
Yeah, just do what you do. So as far as, like, travel and stuff, like, when I took off, did that do anything to you? Or, I mean, you eventually left New York and came out here to California.
Yeah, but... I mean, I think when you started traveling, it was kind of funny because I didn't really see a parallel to me at all. But I've grown with that. Like, I think you and I bonded more over the fact that I've traveled more.
Yeah.
You know, Kel and I in the last...
Yeah, every time I see you, you got... Yeah, stories about...
we're traveling all the dang time. So my wife and I, we don't have kids, you know, we're just chilling and, you know, all of a sudden, like, we're just trying to get places. And we went to Catalina just 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago.
I still haven't been to Catalina. Yeah, but...
we went to Grand Canyon back in April and we've done, you know, we drove cross country back in 2015, drove from, like, New York all the way to California, went through, like, Nashville, Asheville, Carlsbad Caverns, just traveled and traveled and traveled. And, you know, we're doing it a lot more. I think the cool thing for us is, like, since we're decided, you know, not to have kids, like, there's really no excuse not to travel. And I think that's one of those things that is exciting is how can you savor life? And I think savoring life in, like, the small things is really important. Like, whether it's your morning cup of coffee or, like, a really good pasta dinner. I love pasta. But
this,
like,
good.
You know, from a neuropathways perspective, like, you can increase, like, traveling helps you, like, keep your mind young. It allows you to, like, experience new things. And especially when you're doing it with someone you care about, you have those joint experiences together that you can look back towards. So I don't feel like I need to travel, but it's one of those things that I feel like really enriches my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You've never, like, thought about hitchhiking or anything like that?
But, you know, we've played around with van life, with the thought of van life, you
really?
Know? Yeah, we've thought about it. I mean, we haven't
done it. You're talking about it. You haven't actually thought about it?
No, we've thought about it. Really? We've thought about it. Yeah, we've thought about it. It's because it's like, you know, at a certain point, like, you know, we're paying, what, $1,800 a month for rent? Yeah. So you're like, that's a lot of money to just be chilling. And and when you think about it, you're like...
You're somewhat and totally capable of working remotely or different things.
Yeah,
is
but
that
I
coming in a I don't, play or
no, not as much. I feel like if I were to do it, I mean,
dumping it all together.
Dumping it all together would probably be more it because I feel like at this point, like I'd probably want, like they used to call it for young kids, like a gap year, where you just go do something for a year and just chill. And like, I feel like Kel and I would be, like, excited just to go experience the U.S., like, just the whole thing, right? Like, there's so much to do in the U.S., and you don't even realize it. And,
it's huge.
And, you know, we've done a lot of cool things here, but we haven't done the national parks, and so that's one of the things that we've wanted to do a lot. And I think the other thing is it's fun to drive together. It's fun to, like, get crappy diner food.
Yeah.
It's cool to just, like, listen to bad radio.
Only in between stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, man, there's a bunch of things to unpack here. Because, like, first of all, the United States... To drive from Edinburgh, Scotland to Istanbul is not as long as Seattle to Miami.
Yeah.
Seattle to Miami is longer. So that's how big the United States is. Second of all, like, being in the car for 2 or 3 hours, like, that conversation is like, you are in the car, you're locked in together. It's not like we're here on the couch and anytime, like we're on a podcast right now, but like if we weren't, you could be like, all right, I'm going to sleep or whatever. But when you're in the car and you know you're driving 2-3 hours, like,
it's cool though, because I
think you're locked in this conversation.
But the funny thing is, like, the best thing about, like, when you travel with someone you really love too, is like, you know, we lock off and we don't talk for an hour and it's chill. Like, we're that super too. Happy. And like, yeah. You know, I have really different taste in music than she does. So like, I'll throw on the music and like, I'll be bopping around, but I'm driving, I'm chilling, you know, and then she'll be like, okay, enough. yeah. But the cool thing for us is like, and this is a bigger picture thing. My grandfather was a truck driver. Like, he used to drive like double trucks, where he, like, the one trailer and the other trailer. Yeah. And he did that for years. And like, for me, driving with him was always just like we were driving when I was a kid. And it was more like driving itself had this beautiful like flow to it. And I think I've always appreciated it, because
the truck, it's nice too. You're high up.
But it's not only that. It's like, I think for me, it's the perspective, right? Because like, when you're trying to get someplace,
yeah,
you have a focus of like getting there. And when you're at some place, you have the pressure of doing something. But when you're just traveling to some place, you're just like getting there. You're able to like sit back and enjoy the moment, enjoy each other, and just like know that you're not going anywhere for 6 hours. You're like on the road for 6 hours. You're like, I'm not going to be anywhere. I don't have to say anything. If it comes up to my mind, I'll say something.
Yeah.
But there's this really, really like peaceful, present moment type of awareness that comes from long road trips. And I think that's what people take advantage of when they're doing it right, and what drives people nuts when they don't know how to do it. Because they're like, oh, we got to fill every moment with every bit of air.
Yeah, to me, it's a bit of a filter, because I'm definitely more than good in like, as far as like not filling the air. Like, I can just chill there. At this point, I'm also good at realizing when other people feel an awkwardness there, but I'm also good at interjecting slightly and letting them know that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm also good at just, like, doing it. Like, if that's what needs to be done, I can start talking and filling the air.
Think about the difference between someone, like, driving down the road, feeling the need to comment, like, oh, it's a little rainy today.
Yeah,
I think it might rain later. The weather's been a little off.
Like, next exit's probably in 5 miles. Like, is that sign?
But that's garbage. But then, like, you have 30 minutes of silence, and somebody goes, "Like, I'm not happy with my life right now."
Yeah, yeah.
That's
what happens.
That is the real thing, because when you think about it, when you're living in the moment more, and you're not trying to force it, the truth comes up, and I feel like that's what I love about traveling, especially like my wife and I travel and we love traveling. And that's not because like we always have the best time. Sometimes it's stressful and we like yell at each other or whatever, but that's kind of what comes from living in a moment together and living experience. Like, when you look back on it, and my favorite point of any trip by far is we'll get to wherever we were supposed to go, whatever took us there.
Yeah.
We will have a bottle of wine, a nice dinner, and we will just sit there and we'll be like, that was nice. And at that moment, nothing stresses us out. We were happy. We're in a good place because, you know, we love each other. And, you know, we had moments like that got us there. But now you look back on it and you're like, that was life. And that is a bigger lesson. Like, it's a bigger picture, because so many people focus on the end results. And we always talk about the process. We talk about the moments and times that lead you to there. It's the process, not the end result. Like, at the end of the result, we're all dead.
Well, yeah, man.
So, but at the end, but at the end of the way you think about it, that's what people do. They fast forward.
Yeah.
And so you want to really think about it. And you're like, what can I do to live a life that allows me to really savor? And like, when you think about a really good dinner, you're savoring every bite. You're not like thinking, oh, I can't wait till I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what you're doing. You're like savoring every bite. And that's what life should be doing. You should live it in a way that you're savoring every bite. I always like
the experience. Yeah. It's like kind of like some of the best breweries I've been to. I can tell you the best breweries, but I can't tell you the best beers.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I remember the whole experience.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's the imprint that just like got thrown on me.
It's the vibe. Like, it's so much more than a beer or like a place. It's like, you know, it puts an imprint on your soul and you're like, oh wow, that was chill, that was cool. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's been most fun for me as I've gotten kind of older is, you know, I used to feel like success was like moments and times, and now I feel like it's a continuum. I feel like having a good life and having really fun experiences and traveling to cool places, meeting fun people. But even then, like, even the simplest, stupidest stuff makes me joyful. Like, I love watching cartoons. Like, if it makes me happy to watch cartoons I used to watch as a kid, I will savor those moments. I'm not going to be like, oh, judgmental of it. I'm like, no, this is what I do to be able to face the day. And I think there's a lot of that. Like, I think people don't embrace who they are.
I've enjoyed playing some Super Mario while I've been here.
Super Mario is fun. Super Mario is fun. And, like, playing piano, playing guitar, you know, even going for runs, going for bike rides. Like, you do things that are just, like, joyful for yourself, and you, like, don't do it with the end result in mind. Don't, like, oh, I need to lose weight or I need to get in shape. No, no, just do it for its own sake, and that's fun.
So as far as travel, though, like, we obviously travel in different ways, but we have a very similar philosophy.
Yeah.
But, like, just tangibly, what are some places that you do want to go?
Like, you know, so Kel and I are planning to do Ireland and Scotland.
We were talking about that.
Come this spring.
I was showing her some pictures of me in Scotland. And
you know, so for me, like, I'm from, my heritage is Irish and Italian.
Do you have any idea where in Ireland? Because I had no idea.
You know, somewhat, my dad and my brother used to go back there and, like, they went to, like, Galway and stuff like that, and so
Limerick is supposedly where I'm from.
And we have family there, and, like, you know, I don't know if you were around when, like, Brendan and his buddies came and stayed with us in Astoria.
Did they have the Flannery Bar in Manhattan?
No, it's a different bar. No, it's a different group, but, like, we had some of our cousins come from Ireland, and they stayed with us in the apartment in New York. I have family in... You know, my grandparents are both first generation. They actually lived in Ireland and they moved here. Okay. And then my grandparents on my mom's side, like, they're second generation, I think, and, like, Italian and Polish. So I've done it. I did Italy when I was 16. I went to Venice, Milan, and Florence. So that was super cool, but I did it as part of, like, a school choir group thing.
So now you kind of want to go to Scotland, Ireland directly?
Yeah, but I also want to go back to Italy, too, because it's like, I want to do Italy, I want to do France, I really kind of want to go do Japan, because that seems, like, really randomly and cool.
Sound like me, like, where do you want to go? All the places?
Japan has a great running culture, like, I'm into running, though. Yeah, they do Ekiten, and that's cool, and, like, I want to go to Kenya and, like, Iten or Eldoret. But those are places I've actually wanted to go and, like, go chill. Yeah. Like, Ethiopia, Addis Ababa is, like, actually a really big running center, and I've kind of wanted to just go run, and, like, they have all these mountains that, like, are in the trees, and I've kind of wanted to go do that too. But, like,
so what about Scotland, like, excites you the most?
Well, Kelly's really big into, like, the views of the Harry Potter world. So she wants to see the Harry Potter landscapes. But for both she and I, like, I mean, I'm more excited to go to Ireland because, like, that's family. And I feel like when I go back there, I'm hoping to feel, like, a sense of home. When I watched Waking Ned Divine way back when, like, I feel connection to that.
So I will say that I got a sense of home in terms of, like, every bar that I went into, it didn't matter if there was, like, a 67-year-old or a 20, 30-year-old. Like, I told Kelly this earlier, and I haven't articulated this until I said it to her, is that I always felt like I was in a really nice living room.
Yeah.
Like, because I would just go in, and I would order a beer, and I'd just be like, it would be like, you. Not you. Like, but it would be like, hey, well, yeah, what's going on? Like, it was less nice to meet you, and it was more like, how's it been, you know, from
I want to do strangers. That like, I feel like, you know, I feel like if I'm when I I've thought about moving to Ireland, you know, like to live, you know.
I mean, you could do I could in Dublin.
Well, that sure. I could get, like, technically, because my dad's first generation here, we can get dual citizenship, and so I've thought about that. Yeah,
why don't you do that?
Oh, we've talked
too late.
No, we've talked about it.
My stupid brother and sister have it, and they don't even know what the fuck it means. I'm like, you have dual citizenship. Like, that means you can... Because right now, like, you or I can go over there for, like, 3 months, and then you gotta leave.
I know.
But if you get that dual citizenship, you can just live there.
Well, I mean, because it's, like, that's where grandparents are from. Like, my grandparents were born in Ireland. Like, they came through Ellis Island. Kel and I went to Ellis Island, and we saw their names on the... On the books, you know, that was crazy.
Why don't you do it?
I want to. Like, we're it's more complicated than you think. You have to. No, I'm telling you. No, it's like I got to get my dad to do it.
Got to fill out a form. No, he's got to fill out the form.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But once both of us fill out the forms, then it's basically done. But like, we would have had to have done it.
Yeah, well, I'm going back to the East Coast in the next 4 days, so I'm excited. Well,
I fucking dare you to do it.
I'll talk to him about it. Like, I want to do it. Like,
you should.
I feel like it'd be cool. Like, I mean, if there are any place that I'd rather live than like here, I'd probably like I'd love to live in Ireland or I'd love to live in Italy. Those are like I would love to like live there like for like 6 months, a year, a couple years. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't know about living anywhere, but like Dublin is, it's chill. It's fine.
Well, I don't want to live in like a major city either. Like I think like for me, Ireland like. Is more fun in the small towns.
I would say outside of Galway would be cool.
You know,
the cool thing about Ireland is that nothing is 8 hours away. Literally.
You know what's crazy though? Like when you look at it, and I mean, there's a lot of this these days, especially due to the inflation. Don't get me started on like economic trends in the U.S. because that's its own thing.
Full Sean. Right
no,
now.
Like we don't need to go there.
Like,
but
Sean it up.
No, but I mean. When you look at it, there are a lot of things where people are like taking houses in Italy or Ireland, and like the U.S. is too expensive, so they're taking a place there. And like, it's kind of a cool thing. Like, you have to have like income, right? You have to have some way of making ends meet when you move out there to pay for like these houses people are taking. But like, it's kind of a totally different lifestyle. People are moving from like Ohio over to Italy, and like, oh, I bought a home for like $5,000.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just cheaper here. And, like, yeah, you got to do a lot to do that, but you have to have a job or some source of income to make it work. But, like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that concept has been around for a while. I've had friends who lived in Thailand 9 months out of the year since, I don't know, 2008. I mean, people like that. So, I mean, that's just my personal knowledge.
I think it'd be great. Like, I feel like, you know, you got to live somewhere to, like, really appreciate it. And I feel like I don't like traveling, to be honest with you. I love traveling for some parts of it, but I don't like the traveling to do like all the touristy stuff. I think the best part of traveling is just like waking up in a new place, having coffee and breakfast.
Yeah,
like just randomly figuring it out. And like, I mean, I think for me that my favorite trips I've ever taken are the ones that I have nothing planned and I'm like, hey, we're just gonna show up there and see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's the best. Like, to me, when I started traveling, I feel like it wasn't until... So I left Astoria in like 2007.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
I really don't think it was until, honestly, 2012 or something until I got myself into a touristy travel situation. Yeah. Like, I don't know, because I was never like... I was never traveling. I was living freely on the go. That's still what I've been doing. So it's like, as far as like going to Pisa and going to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and there's people like selling weird shit and leaning backwards, like all that dumb shit, or like going to the Sydney Opera House and there's people asking you to take a picture for them or something. No. That's not a big deal, but I mean, that's like, there's a difference between like moving around and seeing the world and like touristy traveling.
I like the idea of, like, doing things like the PCT or the Appalachian Trail and, like, you know, really kind of seeing the world fresh for yourself. I think travel at its root is a way to, like, discover who you are. Yeah. And even if I'm not doing as extreme as that, you know, it gets you out of your comfort zone. You're trying different things. Even if you're just sitting in an airport and it's uncomfortable, like, what kind of person are you going to be? Are you going to be that person who's, like, super stressed out, like angry about everything, or you're gonna be that person who's like, you know, the planes run a little late, the lines are a little stressed out, Maybe I'll go to go. Maybe I'll go get some coffee. Maybe I'll get a beer. Maybe I'll read a book. That's cool.
There's so, like, many versions of,
right, but it's like, you know, you look at the people like boom, 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 and they're like, they're checking off boxes, and you're like, there's nothing wrong with the checking off the boxes. I get it. I appreciate it, but, like, I just don't want it for myself. I'm like, you know what? I want to, like, I think that's the thing. Is, like, you could be waiting in line. You can be at freaking, like, Trader Joe's waiting in a stupid long line. Yeah. And you get to be that person who's, like, tapping your foot.
Yeah.
And you're just upset because you're waiting in line. And you could be that the other person who's just like, hey, I'm chilling. I'm with someone I care about. This is kind of a cool scene. People are really into it. I'm psyched to go, like, chill later. Like, there's... It's what you bring to every moment that's so critical.
What I think is, I don't think travel is any of that, but I think travel accentuates a lot of that. Because when you're traveling, you're constantly putting yourself in situations. And when you're living day to day, you know, you might go to the grocery store and, like, you happen to catch a weird rush.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a fucking 20-minute line, and all you've got is your six-pack of beer, a little bit of meat, a bag of carrots, and you're like, ah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But when you're traveling, you get, it isn't that, but you do get thrown into that more often, because when you're traveling, you're doing things constantly. You got a train ticket, so you're on the train. Like, you're in a grocery store in a country you're not familiar with, and maybe that's just the norm. Like, so you're getting thrown into that, but it isn't that on its face. But, like, you do have to contend with that.
It's cool when you, like, realize life is, like, more than what you're doing every day, because it's like, you know, you're not what you're doing. Like, you can be a really awesome, chill person, like, stuck in traffic, or you could be a jerk stuck in traffic, right? You could be that person who's, like, trying to cut over every 2 seconds and, like, find a little bit of, to get ahead, and you're like, no, the world owes this to me, and you're like, okay. Or you could be that person who's, like, listening to the song on the radio and, like, hey, I haven't heard this for a while. Let me have a conversation with the person I'm in the car with. Huh, traffic's kind of bad right now. At least we have more time together. Like, it's the same perspective. And you look at the two people side by side and you're like, you're a very stressed out person. You're a chill person. And that's what you got to ask yourself, is like, do you want to be a chill person or do you want to be stressed out?
Yeah. So I think maybe that's what travel is, because I always say, like, travel, I think early on, and I used to give Mark shit about this in particular, he was like, my punching bag was just like, you gotta fucking travel. Because I was, in the beginning, I was like, travel's the fucking way. But travel is a pill you can take. It's a solution that's very fucking effective, but it's not the silver bullet.
No.
And I think when I first started doing it, I was like, I'm doing this, this is the silver bullet. And if you're not taking this, you're a fucking idiot. Oh. And I realized, and it took me like a year or two to be like, yes, this is fucking awesome, but, like, this isn't the whole thing, but it is a solution. It's like one thing that you can do. And I think what helped me learn that lesson a little bit is I got a ride from a guy in the Yukon up in Canada, and he didn't tell me much about himself, but he was such, like, a worldly guy. He was, like, a really cool guy. He knew so much about everything. Everything I brought up, he was, like, with it. And then I started talking more and more, and I realized he had never left the Yukon. And the Yukon is desolate. And there's not much going on there. And he had, the only time he left, and he was like 30-something, he went to buy a car in, like, Alberta or something like that. And I'm like, oh, shit. This is, like, one of the cooler people I've ever met. He's, like, very worldly, but he's never left where he's at. So I'm like, you don't need to, just because travel is cool, like, and you get to learn a bunch of shit, it's not the only thing. It's not the thing, like, but it is an effective.
I think travel more than anything else pushes you out of your comfort zone and allows you to, like, focus on living a little more. Like, even if you're just, as something as basic as just, like, taking a boat ride, and you're like, oh, this is discomfort. It's not comfortable, right? Like, you know, how you handle discomfort, because we're able to create our lives around what we enjoy doing. Like, you can wake up and you wake up at the optimal time, you take your shower, you get your breakfast, you do your thing, you drive to work, you work from home. We've been able to minimize discomfort to such an extent that we don't have to, like challenge ourselves any longer. And that's why people like camping. That's why people like doing ultra marathons. That's why people like doing like cross country motorcycle trips. Like, people want to push themselves. They want to push the boundaries, because in pushing those boundaries, they help themselves find each other. That, and when they find themselves, they're able to bring that back to their lives, right? When you have that moment where you push your boundaries and you're like, wow, I didn't think I was capable of that. And you come back to your normal life, your mundane life, and you're like, wow, I can do these things, but I'm choosing to do something else right now. And that's cool, because you're like, you know who you are. The scary thing is when you live 40 to 50 to 70 years and you never know who you are. That's the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that. It's like, damn, how do you wait? I don't know. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know enough to even be afraid about it.
No, I mean, like, but see, at that point, like, you know, you're going to have that conversation like, oh, my lease didn't get renewed at the car I wanted. Oh, my 401k is down a little bit. Oh, you know, I didn't get the uber promotion at my job. You're like, those are not real things. Like, they're important in their life. And I can't say that they're not important to anybody who's gone through them. But they're not existential crises. They're not like, who am I? What am I doing? They're like graduations. They're like a scale. So, like, you're already so far on your scale. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing these things. And things, I got a bronze instead of a silver.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, cool. What were you, why were you in the race? And they're like, I don't know. It's like, they don't know why they were in the race, you know?
I'm going to grab another beer.
Grab me one, too.
What would you say to someone like Aaron, who's an absolute piece of garbage?
He lives a life that is savored, and he has a passion for brewing, and I can't help but appreciate the life that he lives. That is what I will say.
So you're a big fan of Aaron?
I love Aaron. He's awesome.
You hung out with him one time.
Yeah. We were in Sacramento, and I came from my work function. I took an Uber. He was working at a bar. I showed up. He had no clue that I was going to show up. Like, I told him I was, but he didn't think I was going to show up. Showed up at his bar, just randomly showed up, and all of a sudden there I was, and like, he was like, whoa. And then we went and got McDonald's and like went to a bar and chilled, and it was fun. I love him though. He's awesome.
Fuck you, Aaron. Here's a beer. Yeah. So yeah, it's always fun talking to you about travel, because like, I feel like our core philosophies are really similar.
Yeah, you know, though we are literally doing the exact opposite ways.
Yeah, we articulate them a little differently sometimes, but they're kind of the same. But it's always fun to talk to you about it. And like,
well, I feel like the difference between you and I is like, I'm like, I'll go when I have the money, and you're like, I'll go now.
Yeah,
like, well, I think the fun thing is like, it's not like I'm not gonna go, right? Like, I'm still gonna go. It's just like, I've always been responsible my whole life. Like, get all the bills paid. I've been like the responsible among everybody. Yeah. Get the job, get the health insurance, get the 401k, blah, 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 blah. And I love that side of myself. I love that I'm responsible. I love that I'm good with money, and, you know, I save a lot of money and all that stuff.
But you've also always mentally supported what I've been doing. And like, yeah, and just supported it in general. Like, it was funny, we were watching whatever that YouTube video was, because this is one of my classic memories. Like, for those of y'all listening, one time I was in Vegas and I completely shit the bed money wise. And this was early on when I was getting like some of the Vegas stuff.
Way long ago.
But I completely shit the bed. I was totally out of money. And I think I'd kind of gotten onto the free stuff, but not really.
Yeah.
And somehow you found out about it.
We were texting on Gmail or what, Gchat.
And this was before you could like, I don't know, do some stuff, but yeah, somehow you like called Chipotle.
I did, like, in Vegas from New York.
This hobo's coming through. Here's my credit card number.
I said, my friend's coming. I must have called, because I don't know if I faxed it or I called it. Like, hey, I want to buy my friend a burrito, get him a beer too.
That was the incredible part. Yeah. Cause after you made this like crazy call, which is not normal, especially then.
No, that was 2007 or 2008.
You somehow told me, you're like, go there, there's a burrito waiting for you. I'm like, how? And not only did I go there, but like, that was the cherry on the sundae, was they're like, here's your burrito, sir, and here's a Corona as well. And the fact that like, all of it was crazy. The fact that they gave me a burrito, and like, my friend in New York called in a burrito from fucking New York. Yeah. And I was toast. You know, I'm talking like I had not even $6 in life. And they're like, here's a burrito. And they're like, by the way, also the Corona. The Corona was just like the woo.
That was cool. Like it was like that was like one of those moments when I felt like, you know, it's because you and I are like completely opposite in so many ways. Like I felt like in that moment I was like, oh cool, like this path I'm on, it was cool, like I'm able to support people who are doing other things.
Yeah. Well, I just remember being fucking different.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Special.
But it was fun though. Like I mean, to be able to do that, like that, like people don't, I mean, people do not appreciate what it was to be able to call a Chipotle in 2007. Yeah. Like, that's not, like, there's no DoorDash, there's not like, oh, here's a fax.
Yeah,
no,
it was nothing like that. It wasn't just like, oh, I fucking Ubered you or something. Yeah,
it's like, no, you literally called up a store and you said, hey, my friend's coming in, I want to buy him a burrito. Here's my credit card information, bring this up, and by the way, buy him a beer.
Yeah, it was practically like you faxed your card like, I don't know. And there's something about it, too, just beyond that. It wasn't like, because I've had people like do shit for me, but it didn't feel like you were doing something for me. It just felt like you were just like a part of me or something. Yeah.
It's like, it was cool because it was like you were like feeling down or shit and you're like you were out of money. I'm like, oh, go here and get your food.
Yeah, and then shit turned around. I forget what happened after that, but like I think someone on Craigslist was like, I'm going to LA. It was like one of the first semi hitchhiking rides. Yeah. Like it was a domino effect.
Well, it's funny too because I look back on your times hitchhiking, like, you know, because I've followed it through the years on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook or whatever, and it's like, you know, it used to be like when you started off, because that was early, like it was kind of like in the dark, you're like, oh, I don't know where I'm going. And now you've got it down pretty good, but like back then it was like you had no clue what you're doing.
Yeah, I think actually when that Vegas thing happened, I forget if I had hitchhiked at all. Like, so my very, very, very first hitchhiking ride was I got a Craigslist ride from Vegas to Santa Monica-ish, and I camped in some park. Like, some dude just gave me a ride off of Craigslist, like, for nothing. Like, for nothing. And camped out, and then in the morning, like, I hitchhiked to Santa Monica, which was like two rides.
Yeah.
Like, bullshit. Like, and it worked. And then eventually, like a week or two later, I hitchhiked from Bakersfield to see Carolina in Oklahoma City, which was a disaster.
Well, I mean, I think the cool thing is, like, you know, we have this cultural narrative around travel that says you have to have money to travel. And, like, you know, I mean, I would never want to do what you do. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is where we're very different. Like, I'm going to get a plane. I'm going to get a...
A lot of us are different. Most people don't want to do what I...
But I very much enjoy, like, you know, traveling a certain way. And that's where, like, I mean, I have a lot of vacation time with my job. And I get to travel a lot. And, you know, I don't mind paying for the plane or the train or whatever the case may be, or driving there. Like, for me, that's all the fun there is. Like, I love a long drive. Like, nothing makes me happier than my wife and I jumping out in the car and just going for like 500,000 miles and just having fun. But like, you know, for us, like getting the radio station on, getting the morning coffee, you know, doing the stops, like that is our fun.
Yeah.
Like I would never want to do what you do. Like, never.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I kind of want to, like, impart on some people is I feel like a lot of people watching, listening, don't really want to do what I do. Maybe they're, like, somewhat intrigued. But, like, what I actually hope to impart is somewhat of the, because a lot of what I do isn't what I do. It's, like, the mindset. Because, you know, maybe I hitchhiked to fucking San Diego and I fucking wound up at this brewery because I camped nearby, but like, I hope the mindset of me getting there and like, and then I meet someone there because I'm free flowing is something that translates, because that's how I meet a lot of people, is like, I'm somewhere and just like being free. It's mostly, I don't know, it's almost being saying yes.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, it's just being like, yes, because a lot of the cool shit I've ever done
You said just yes.
Like, I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll go on your fucking plane. Like,
well, I mean,
and just because I wound up there because I was hitchhiking or on a plane or fucking broke or whatever. Like, yeah. And I realize most people don't want to do that, but like, just have the mindset of like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think if you, from a cultural narrative perspective, you could look at Homer and with the Iliad or Odysseus, and then you move it all the way through to like Kerouac. You could, like, you look at this cultural perspective of people who want to just hit the road or do things and have adventures, and like, we all have them for different reasons. And I think so much of our cultural narrative is about people who are moving out of their comfort zone and traveling and having an adventure. That, especially in American perspective, like the idea of like hitting the road or going on the open trail or whatever it may be to find your future, that's a very much a uniquely American perspective, because people used to be like, oh, there's no place for me here, let me head west. Yeah. Head west, my young friend. You know, yeah. And when you really think about it, there is when you're thinking about Homer and talking about the Odyssey from like 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, you're like, the joy of it is not where you end up. You end up at the end of the book, the end of the poem.
Yeah.
It's the journey. And that is the fun thing. And that's what life is about. It's not where you end. We all end in the same place. Yeah. It's what you do on the way there. And the coolest thing that you can possibly hope to imagine is to live in the moment enough that you can appreciate what life is, so you do not have to look back and say, you know, I missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, I don't know, trying to do to a certain extent.
But I mean, I love the way you do it, but like, I wouldn't do it the way you do it, you know, but I love the way you do it because it's uniquely you, right? Like, I feel like when you look at people like Alex Honnold, right? The guy who does Al Cap.
Free solo.
Free solo. He does. Yeah. He goes up Al Cap and he's like, oh, I can just, like, I'm expanding my comfort zone to the point that this is comfortable. Yeah. I think about you in that perspective. Like, you've expanded your comfort zone for travel to the point you're like, hey, I'm going to thumb a ride in the middle of nowhere and that's comfortable to me. It's not comfortable to me. Like, hell, no way.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, there is the beauty of our, like, rock climbing, the beauty of travel, but you can experience it at many different levels. You can like go free solo El Cap, which like nobody except one person has done.
Yeah.
Or you can go like chill and like do rock climbing in an indoor gym, but still have fun if that's like your bag. Like, it's like, how do you feel about the risk versus reward? I feel like I'm the guy who's in like the gym who wants to travel with all the comforts, but I still want to see the world. I still want to have those experiences. I'm just not willing to do it the way you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like how much you're willing to push it, but also like what it is, you know, like, and you get to kind of decide and pick your level of comfort, pick your level of what you want to do, but also pick who you surround yourself with. Like, we're friends.
You know? But that's, you know, it's funny though. Like, I feel like as you get older, we used to have a huge group of like random friends.
Yeah.
Like a huge group of random friends.
Yeah, a lot more
incidentals. Like, and it was cool because you'd like get to hear people's stories and they were all like very divergent and you like have no idea, like, oh wow, how'd you end up here? And like the story you'd hear would be crazy.
Yeah.
Now you hear stories and they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Because like what's happened is that like the collective set of friends has gone down to here. Because he used to have a really wide breadth, and now it's like here. And all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, we're all kind of...
How many people do you actually stay in touch with, and like, how divergent is their life?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's tricky, but...
It is. It's challenging, because like, I remember the first couple I knew who got married, and they were like... They're like in their mid-20s, and were like, whoa, you're married, that's crazy.
That's why, I don't know, to me, everything's valuable, and I've got a really high tolerance for anything, so, like, I don't cut anyone off. That's why when someone like Nick fucking cuts me off, I'm like, that's fucking dumb. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, because as far as, like, friends or even acquaintances from your childhood, that never grows. That's a limited number. So it's like, all you have to do is just hang around and just like hold on to that. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's incredibly valuable.
It's hard because it's like, you know, people grow up and people want to pretend that they're like a different version of themselves and they want to forget who they were.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do that at their own peril, because at the end of the day, if you forget who you are, you're not going to really understand who you are now. Yeah. And like, I think people want to believe that they are this cultivated version of themselves. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're still that scared 12-year-old who's trying to figure out life. And, you know, the people who were valuable to you back then should still be valuable to you now, like the friends that you had. But like, if you want to like cut them out of your life because you're like, oh, I was vulnerable then, I don't want them to see that, you're creating this whole facade of who you are now that's not real. And so who cares if a bunch of people think you're this person? Like, what does that do for you? Like, what does that do for your ego? Like, who cares?
It fucks you over. Really. Well, do you have anything to say to Aaron?
I think Aaron and I need to start a brewery together, and we need to make you jealous, because I think he and I could kick ass and make some amazing beer together. I love Aaron. He's a great guy, and I think we just got to chill, and we're going to put you to shame.
Aaron from Sacramento?
Aaron from Sacramento.
The piece of shit.
Not a piece of shit, and an amazing man.
Whoa! So what beer would you brew with Aaron?
You know, for me, I love hazy IPAs. That's like my favorite type of drink. And I want something...
Aaron likes hazies too.
I think something like... It's got to be over 7% ABV.
Yeah.
Just as a minimum. But it's like, American. It can't be so over the top that you like... You can't drink it. Like, I don't like some of those triple IPAs that make it so it's like, okay, I'm drinking something strong. It needs to be sneaky, but at the same time, it has a little citrus feel to it, but not over citrus. And it's got to be super smooth. A little
bit of body to it.
Yeah, it's got to be smooth. And I feel like at the end of the day, it's like, it's got to be something like you can have on like a 90 degree day and chill, or a 60 degree day and chill. And like, it's like, that's a beautiful thing. Like, I love hazy IPAs.
So would you want to sip it and almost feel like you're having like, man, this is a fucking watered down mimosa, but then someone's like, that's a 9.7er. Is that what you want?
I wouldn't say a mimosa. I wouldn't say a mimosa, because that's a little too light for me. But yeah, something akin to that. Like, I want something that like feels a little stronger than that. But
okay.
I love a good hazy IPA. I always have. Hazen Infused was the first beer that I was super in love with. Like, yeah, my first,
I was trying to get that for you.
My first beer that I loved. The first beer that I loved was Arrogant Bastard by Stone. And that was like my favorite beer. I couldn't believe that classic beer existed. And then like from there, I went to Hazen Infused, because I was like, oh, it's a good like chill beer. We've had so much like Dogfish Head, like 60, Dogfish Head 90, Dogfish Head 120. Stone has like so many great, like Delicious or, you know, so many great IPAs that they've done.
Ruination
is amazing. Like, you know,
what?
So there's so many really, really strong IPAs out there, and I feel like we've kind of gotten overwhelmed with them all. But like, I go back to Hazen Infused. It's like the gateway beer for me. I love that beer, and Arrogant Bastard was the number one. And like, even like the narrative on the bottle, I was like, whoa.
No, that fucking it's one of the pages in Nomadic Moonlight was with Aaron. He had a bachelorette joint party.
Yeah.
In a party bus. And they had the big, like, it wasn't even a 22, it was like a fucking 40-ounce.
Oh, wow.
American Bastard. It was one of the stupid big bottle, and I was like, but then there's also like the Ruination, which is a double IPA.
We've done, like, you know, you and I and like, you know, Blake and Mark and such, like, over the years, we've gone to Stone so many times. Like, yeah.
Last time we all saw each other.
But I went to Stone, like, I mean, I don't know where you were at that time, but, like, maybe you were with us, I don't know. But, like, I was at Stone when they were, like, first putting in their second, like, their real big, their big breweries, like, when in Escondido. Like, they hadn't even put those big vats in yet. And they were putting, They they had just put them in. It was crazy. And they were telling, oh, we just bought these new ones and blah, blah, blah. It was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, it would have to
be. Oh, my God. It was crazy. Yeah. But we were like, oh, this is amazing. The beers are so great. Like, but they were small and they were.
Yeah.
Great beer. And I think that's at the end of the day, like, whether it's good beer, good wine, good food, it's like, I think it's the chance to come together as people. And I think that's what travel and food and beverage is all about. It's like a way for
all back.
Well, people are finding ways to come together and spend time together. And like, I think it's what allows you to frame the moment so you remember in the future. And I think that's what's great about beer. I think that's what's great about wine and great about food. It's like, it's this chance to just really look at that moment and decades from now and say, that was cool.
Yeah. I like it. I think we can all agree that.
Cheers.
Aaron's a piece of shit. Cheers.
I would not say that.
Love you, Sean.
Love you too, Ken.
Love you, Aaron. All right. Thanks for Sean being on the podcast. I'm still in California, obviously. Well, not obviously, but I'm still in California. That was my last time seeing Sean until whenever the next time is. And I'll be here in Cali for another few days, and then I'm heading to New Orleans. Got a book signing there on October 28th, I think, more or less, whatever that Saturday is around there. I think it's the 28th, so if you happen to be in Mississippi or New Orleans isn't far from where it's going to be happening, pass cigars. That's going to be real fun. Going to have books. There's cigars. There's beer. It's a good craft beer selection there. So, stoked to catch up with some friends and stuff there. I'm here at the Harrah's in Southern California, not far from San Diego. So hoping to collect a little bit more money before I leave here. Room's free. That's nice. I think I'm going to get a free haircut tomorrow. That's a bonus. Free food while I'm here. So it's not a bad situation that I'm in right now. And yeah, a few more days of this and onward to New Orleans and Mississippi and everything else. So that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed meeting Sean, one of my best friends. So, good times. And I will see you down the road. With all my shit straight, I'll get my big break.